You're listening to Midlife with Courage. This is where women in midlife come for inspiration, motivation, and sometimes a little education to help them flourish after 40. Don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button. Now let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Midlife with Courage. I'm Kim Benoit, your host. Today, I have a beautiful guest with me. Her name is Christine Rook. Welcome to the podcast, Christine.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you. Christine, you're a holistic transformation guide. What does that mean?
I hold space for people to find their truth and authenticity, and mostly as it relates to the healing path. I mean, I think that this is work that's relevant to everybody, but especially I love to work with people who are on a healing path and want to heal with their truth and authenticity and come home to themselves and learn more about their deeper selves. I hold space for encouraging them to tap into their intuition, listen to their body, regulate their nervous system, and, you know, come home to their soul's calling.
Love it. Fits right in with what I'm doing here at Midlife with Courage. So I want to dive into that.
My path started because I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis 20 years ago, but I also had a whole lifetime in childhood of chronic illness. And even into my early 20s, I mean, I was diagnosed with MS when I was 38. And I just had so many illnesses and I was chronically sick and on all sorts of drugs. And yeah, as people who struggle with health know how challenging it is. And I definitely was on my own personal healing path and healed myself of all of these health conditions naturally, and not without, of course, having gone through the Western medical system as well. But then when I was diagnosed with MS, I just treated that all naturally and holistically, got my degree in holistic nutrition. And I opened multiple food businesses in Boulder, Colorado that I had successful food businesses for about 10 years. And then everything that was working for me stopped working for me. And And I kind of just blew up my whole life and closed all my businesses in just like a matter of days. And then that precipitated a lot of trauma, as you can imagine, and difficult choices. And then I ended my marriage, sold all my belongings, packed a suitcase and moved to Costa Rica for a year and a half.
Wow.
Just to try to figure out, like, what did I do? What happened? And how did this happen to me? Because like on the outside, it looked like I was winning. But on the inside, I was like on the verge of a nervous breakdown and I didn't even know it. You know, I was so disconnected from that aspect of myself, even though I felt like I was doing all the right things. You know, I was doing everything I could to be a healthy person and I had health food restaurants. And so of all wacky things, you know, I was doing all the right things. But there was a part of me that was dying and I didn't even know it. And I had to destroy my whole life to save my life, as the case may be. But I think this maybe leads into your conversation and the conversation that you're having with a lot of people in midlife and maybe especially women as well, as we go through our phase and change in life and how that affects us so deeply. And it's a different shift in life calling, I think, sometimes for some of us. Anyway, that's a bit of my backstory. But
yeah,
through that process, though, I recognized I've always helped people and I've always felt called to the healing path and would heal people with food primarily and connect with like the value of nutrition and proper food. But then through my own process of healing all of these other aspects of my unmet self, I recognized that the healing process is very synergistic and it's very internal and we heal so internally. And so that became my calling to help other people in their healing crisis navigate that terrain and hold space for them to really move through that with support and come into their fullness and all that. Okay, now I'm done talking.
Okay. That's okay. I'm fascinated by it. But let's go back just a little bit. You mentioned as a child you were sick a lot. You had all these chronic things going on. and you were treated by the Western medical system. But how did you go from that to realizing there was something different? Because I think there's a big focus on that now. That's changing a lot.
I agree. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do. And I think that to your point as well, there's a lot of people who are wanting to step outside of what they have felt like was conventional wisdom and then recognizing that there's shortcomings to that and that they're not actually healing. They're really just putting a Band-Aid on their symptoms and they're not really getting to the root cause of it. And also disempowerment and disconnection from our own body's innate ability to heal and heal from everything, right? Not just cuts and bruises and not just your average cold or flu, but everything. Yes, thank you for asking that. For sure, I almost lived two lives until, you know, and slowly those roads were getting closer and closer, you know, especially with a childbirth and having children and the things you want to do for your babies and feed them the best food possible and all that kind of stuff. But I did live two lives. Like on one hand, I was like crunchy, as it looked like in Arizona, where I lived at that time 20 years ago, where I was really interested in natural foods and healthy foods and had a natural childbirth and tried to eat organic and some of those very new sort of crunchy things at that time, at least in my life. But at the same time, I was still going to the doctor, taking all the antibiotics, and I was on over 100 rounds of antibiotics between my 20s, my childhood and into my 20s. Like it was like ridiculous, but it was slowly, slowly. And I think I started to become more aware of the natural world. But then after I was diagnosed with MS is really when it was really clear. Although I didn't plan to treat my MS naturally at that time. I just knew I was so sick at the time that I was diagnosed that I thought that I had a naturopath already, as fate would have it. And she was the one who suggested to me that I do a food elimination diet. All this was with, you know, testing and all of that kind of stuff. It wasn't sure like a shot in the dark necessarily, but with support. And I rebelled against it a little bit because I was just like, I eat so healthy and I don't have any digestive problems. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand how diet could have anything to do with what was happening in my brain and my spinal cord and my inability to walk. And so it was a little bit of a tough go for me at first, but I just felt like, well, I should give my body the chance to be healthy, to withstand the rigor of the pharmaceutical intervention, which at that time was self-injections of a drug. And my children were young babies. And so I was afraid because I'd always had a lifetime of being intolerant of drugs, even though I was on so many of them. But it was a lot of it hopscotching from drug to drug because I always had all of these adverse effects to a lot of pharmaceutical medication. At any rate, the long and the short of it is I did a food elimination diet and it was so profound and it just changed my entire life to change my diet and changed the entire trajectory of my disease. And at that time, it was all about food. And that's when I got my degree in holistic nutrition. And then I opened restaurants to support other people in their food journeys and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
You're the second person I've talked to on my podcast that has had MS and healed themselves from it. And I think that's amazing. There's something there because there's a lot of people.
There really is. There is. And that's part of the reason why I'm glad you interviewed somebody else about that, too, just to bring more awareness to this isn't an isolated case of me, that woman and me. This is available to everybody.
Yeah. And the more women I talk to, the more I hear it's nutrition, nutrition, nutrition. What food is medicine. We have to put into our bodies what it needs, not all the crap that it doesn't, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. You have to support your body.
Yeah. So I've heard before when women say, and I heard it from you, this is why I'm bringing this up, but you said, it looked like I had everything I wanted and everything I needed from the outside, but inside I was just not okay.
Yeah.
To me, for someone to realize that first is courageous and then to do something about it. Mm-hmm. Because so many of us, we're just going to have to suck it up and go with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do know.
So you said you turned inside yourself and your soul. Was that a one day you woke up and said, no, I'm done? Or was it kind of a gradual coming?
I think a little bit of both, you know? I mean, I for sure knew that I was unhappy, but I thought that I was unhappy in life because of my business. And now this was in 22 when I closed everything. And so it was right after the pandemic and I had restaurants. And so that was very difficult for food businesses and especially for natural food business because I straddled this line of health. And so there was a lot of polarization around the clientele, right? Mm-hmm. And that was very difficult for me to straddle. And yeah, that was a very difficult time. And I was trying to grow my business during that time as well. Like one part of my brain was like, this is a great time to like grow the business. I don't know why I was thinking that. Well, I do know because I was busy out running. I know that I was bypassing my problem and thinking that if I worked harder or made better food, then all of my problems would be solved. And without really recognizing that there were deeper problems that actually had nothing to do with how hard I worked. I worked hard enough and that it couldn't be outrun by working harder, working longer hours, doing more. And so even though I was trying for a number of months to try to figure out a way out of my problems, you know, and at the end of the day, it just came down to just a split second decision. It wasn't really split second. I was agonizing, but I remember standing in my kitchen. It was just before Christmas. And I just was distraught over like what I was going to do because I was running out of money and my business was tanking. Although I was busy, it was like all these other terrible stories. I don't need to get into that anymore. But it was like the universe conspired against me. Like the universe was saying, you've done enough. You're done. There's more work for you to do on the other side of this. And you just have to trust that you're going to go through hell, but you're going to be better on the other side than you are right now. So I did. I was standing in the kitchen and I just felt this force of energy from the universe, which sounds hokey maybe to some people in your audience. But until you've experienced it, I'll tell you what, it was so real. And the truth just hit me like a lightning bolt. And it was like, no, you were done. You were done.
Yeah.
And I just knew, okay, I just had to surrender. I had to surrender to, I've had a lot of learning about how to surrender in the last number of years, and which is really beautiful, actually, if nobody's actually done it.
That surrender is a big word.
Yeah, it's a really big word.
Scary, scary big word.
Scary big word. And so I did. I had that was some of my first lessons and the hardest lessons in surrendering to the process that's already being laid before you and trusting the wisdom of what's coming up. And so I did. I just announced right then and there that we were closing and I closed my business just 4 days later. As soon as all the food in my walk-in was used up.
And that was it. And then you were done.
And then that was it. I just shut my doors.
Oh my gosh. And so tell us what happened after that. Next steps. How did you get to where you are today?
Well, it was a lot of, as anybody might know, you don't actually close a business like that. After it's been open for 10 years, it's like a really bad idea to just close your doors. And so there was a lot of ramifications. There was a lot of consequences to that decision that I had to pay. I had 3 leases. I had vehicles. I had storage units. I had, you know, the very heavy, if anybody's ever been in food and beverage, it's a very like material heavy business. You know, you have plates and forks and knives and equipment and all kinds of stuff, you know? And so it was a long year of undoing all of that and the consequences, the financial consequences. And my marriage just couldn't, it just really revealed a lot of the cracks in my marriage that were already there anyway, but I was busy working so hard to try to fix it that way, you know?
Sure.
And so, yeah, the long and the short of it, I just knew that I wasn't going to have an adjacent life. But I wasn't going to stop doing this and then just move to this lane and start doing that. I knew that there was something much deeper and more significant that was happening to me, for me. And I knew I just needed to save my life. I didn't really know what that meant exactly, but I knew that I had to save my life. And so I did. I moved to Costa Rica. And strangely, to me, it was just like serendipity because there happened to be these 2 healers there. And they recognized what was happening to me. And because I was so confused and distraught and sad and, you know, I was just destroyed. I just need to figure it out. And thankfully, yeah, as the universe would have it, I was meant to go there to meet them and to learn this beautiful work. And that's the work I'm doing now and the message that I'm bringing forth. And that is these deeper ways of reuniting with our truth and healing. You know, like as soon as I started learning how to do this work of restoring your nervous system, there's a lot of talk about the nervous system right now, and which for good reason, right? There is a lot of greater awareness around how vital it is that we start to pay attention to our nervous system. And I view it as a portal to all kinds of beautiful things. And I saw how I learned for myself that even though I was doing all the right things on paper, and living this super healthy life, I had no emotional connection. I had no emotional capacity. I had zero connection to an emotional landscape. And it's hard to understand actually why that's so important and what that has to do with your nervous system and what those two things, your emotional capacity and the state of your nervous system, have to do with your health and your health and well-being. And it doesn't, you don't even have to have MS. You know, I mean, it could be any number of things, whatever health looks like to anybody. So it could be a state of depression or anxiety or dissatisfaction in your job or high blood pressure. It could be just about anything because everybody is so unique and individual, but it spans a full realm of, you know, the human experience, really.
Yeah, for sure. That just ties right into your message, basically, is health challenges can carry deeper emotional and spiritual meaning. And there it is right there. Because, you know, we think, oh, health, oh, my, I have high blood pressure, I have diabetes. Okay. How can we dig deeper into that and work with that? I think is what kind of what you're saying, right?
I mean, I love what you, at the very beginning, you were like, people are recognizing that food is super important. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they are. But I also think that there's a continuum, right? At the beginning, when you first start working with food, there's a huge amount of realizations and your body starts responding and it's amazing. But it also isn't everything. And I think that we put a lot of control on food. The food industry is in a lot of ways creates more constriction, rules, and fear and concern about hypervigilance, about everything. I mean, it can go into a dark place, I think, for people. And I know that for myself. I had such a tight lifestyle because I was doing everything I could to keep my nervous system, well, it wasn't even my nervous system, but to keep my MS control, you know? And so I put all this control on my whole life to control that. And that actually is really stressful for the nervous system. And so what I think is interesting is how now, to go back to what you were saying about the spiritual side of things or the soul level, is that we really created a life in service of keeping our nervous system dysregulated. And we're not necessarily attached to that. We don't necessarily see that.
Right.
So what that would look like is, you do all these things right. You're going to do this diet, but then you have all these rules. You have all this structure. Nobody in your family can like eat anything different because it triggers you. You go out to restaurants, you ask a million questions about the menu, or you can't eat here and you can't eat there. And you're a complete pain in the butt when you go to somebody else's gathering, and you can get really high maintenance and you're keeping your nervous system dysregulated in service of your good diet that's supposed to help your health. Do you see how it's like this dichotomy?
Yeah.
And it's not healthy.
No, it's not.
You don't do that.
Because you're attaching all this stress onto something that you're trying to use to help you. And that doesn't work.
Yeah. It doesn't work like that. Or you can think you're doing all the right things, you're going to exercise, but then you create all this rigidity around the things that you're doing. And that rigidity is not good for your nervous system either. That's not what the nervous system wants. The nervous system wants to be malleable and flexible and dynamic. Mm-hmm. And, but then you can't imagine why your diet isn't working. There's a lot of people who have weight issues and they put a lot of time and energy into their weight and they don't understand why it's not working. And then they beat themselves up for the choices that they make and then they can't resist. And then they have this whole mental dialogue of distrust, of self hatred, of discouragement, and then they feel like they can't trust themselves, they can't trust their body. And so you have this two things happening where you're putting all this energy into your food because you have to do that. While at the same time, you have this whole other world that's happening, and that is the way you talk to yourself, what you believe about yourself, whether or not you trust yourself, whether or not you have faith and trust in yourself, and those two things don't come together to support your health.
Right.
Right. It's like they cancel each other out in a way. Just go yeah. back and eat the already. Yeah. I those are the kind of patterns that I find in people and I address because you bring into alignment. Right. And then all of a sudden, when you learn how to stop talking bad about yourself because you're building emotional capacity and you're learning to trust yourself, then all of a sudden your diet starts working.
Yeah. That it just reminds me of people who you see, they lost 100 pounds and then a few months later, it's all coming back because they didn't actually deal with the actual problem and they were probably creating more problems for themselves.
100%. Yeah, exactly. We can impose a structure on our body to change, but that's not really how the body does it.
Yeah.
It's its own time. Your body heals in its own beautiful time. And I love to teach people to hold space for their own healing path to unfold naturally and organically. Like in our society, we place a lot of like structure on the healing process, right? And we think like a 30-day reset or things like that, or like, I'm going to go to a wedding in 3 months. I'm going to go on this crash diet so I can fit into a size 8 dress. You know, it's like, okay, you can fit into that size 8 dress, but change is not permanent. Change is temporary. You can change your hair, you can change your clothes, you can change your diet, you can change your mind. But transformation is permanent. You'll never go back to what you were before.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Ladies, I am so excited about my new venture in this podcast. I'm calling it Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. You are going to get me, Kim Benoy, once or twice a month. I'm going to be getting real with you about the conversations that I have with my guests, and I'm going a little bit deeper. I'm going to bring my own personal experiences into it. I'm going to share what I've got going on in the hopes that you will share right back with me. This is not going to be me just talking in front of the microphone. I want your input. I want your participation. If you go to my show notes at the end of this episode, you'll see a support the show. That is where you can subscribe to Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. For only $5 a month, you're going to get this extra bonus content once, twice a month, and we're going to talk about what's really happening in midlife. I'm going to share my experiences. I'm going to get real. I'll probably get a little vulnerable. I'll be sharing things I don't normally share. So please subscribe so that you can get in on the founding members of this new Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. I'll see you there.
That is a huge statement.
Change is temporary and transformation is permanent. I will never go back to what I was before. This isn't just a simple try on a new outfit kind of thing. I am completely transformed in how I view the world and how I view things. And so this is the way that I hold space for people for their own transformation. So your health will always be better. You will never betray yourself again, you know, because it's truth from within. It's not this externally driven expectation for a rigid outcome and a rigid set amount of time.
Yeah.
It's learning to hold space for your own process to unfold naturally and organically.
Yeah.
And then when you watch that happen, you can't help but be in awe of what your body is capable of. And that changes everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just listening to this makes me in awe. I've never thought of it that way. It's amazing. Yeah, right?
I mean, thank you. It's a really beautiful process. And
yeah.
And I hope to inspire more people about the ability for all of us to be able to express and experience this. So,
yeah. Once again, you go within yourself to get the answers you need to thrive and to transform.
100%, because everything that we seek externally is already within us.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I am just having a whole light bulb moment here in a moment. This is amazing. Right. This is so cool. So how do you help people do this in your work as a holistic transformation guide? Now I know what it is and what it means.
Well, and it's holistic because we take into account all of these things. It's not just one path, like just your diet, right? And it's how all of these pieces come together in alignment, so that when you're in alignment, then your natural healing codes, what I call your healing codes, but the way that we're designed to heal, right? We came into this world is perfectly flawless beings, except for obviously there are anomalies, and let's not get into that. But by and large, we all came in with this intrinsic ability to breathe, to sleep, to digest, to birth, to die. Heal is also in there. And what I do is set aside all of those things that we were talking about. And we really start with the nervous system and people learning to hold emotional capacity, which seems like wild and almost unbelievable in a way. I didn't understand it for sure. And I felt like I came to the work pretty savvy. You know, I had already spent 17 years in a natural wellness world, and I'd already worked with a number of different healers and modalities. So this was sort of radical to me. But what happens is this beautiful thing. We take our mind off of all of your problems. Who cares, right? There's nothing to fix. What about that? What if we start with this idea that there's nothing to fix? You are complete and whole exactly as you've been created. And this is all just messages. And you're going to learn a whole new language. And it starts this way, where we just learn to sit with all that we are for 30 seconds at a time. A lot of us feel like if we go into this idea and have a jump over to this cultural dialogue that we're having right now, the zeitgeist around the nervous system, right? And there's a lot of people that are having this conversation, and all of it's beautiful and all of it's super important to bring awareness for everybody as to how important this is. But in my mind, you have this continuum where on one side, you have people who are always triggered and never feel safe. And then they try to mold their, shape their lives around that, whether they wear a mask everywhere or whether they avoid certain people or certain circumstances because they don't feel safe, or they're triggered by people who have different opinions than them. And then you have another end of the continuum where people are engaging in these external modalities like breath work and vagus nerve reset and trauma release. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those are all beautiful practices. But I suggest a middle way, that we learn to go within ourselves and we learn to hold space for our emotions. We start there. Because a lot of us, when you're triggered, you don't realize that you don't have any emotional capacity. And this is what's taught to us culturally. So it's nobody's fault. It's just the human condition. But we experience an emotion, and then we identify with that emotion. And then we create an identity or a story from that emotional space. And then from that identity or that story, we make decisions. And then those decisions then are rooted in a false paradigm. And so they don't support the truth.
Right.
So it starts really slow and small in a way for you to build safety within. All the safety you seek from the outside, you build your own sense of safety. And so when you learn how to hold all of your emotions, and I learn that you are not your emotions. You are the one experiencing an energetic sensation of emotion. And emotions come and they go. They don't stay fixed in our body. We're the one who pushes them down in our body. And that creates the distortion in your energy field. And that's unprocessed trauma, unprocessed pain, old stories, all of that stuff, that all lives in your nervous system and creates rigidity. And so when you learn to hold space for yourself, what happens is you build the capacity to hold all that you are, all of yourself, the good, the bad, the uncertain, the fear, pain, the joy. And because not only as humans are we uncomfortable holding difficult emotions, because it is uncomfortable, it is, but we also conversely have a hard time holding the good stuff too. Holding the joy, holding the pleasure, holding the happiness without sabotaging it or second guessing it or distrusting it or waiting for the other shoe to drop. So when we start this way and start really slow inside yourself, you learn to trust yourself. And then when you learn to trust yourself, you recognize your body is actually talking to you. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing wrong with you. So put that aside. Like it would be like, yeah, there's something wrong with me. And it's like, no, your body is talking to you. So when you learn to have the space for your body's signs and signals and the language, and you start to trust yourself and you don't react from every little space, then you can start to discern like, oh, I think that this is what my body is trying to tell me. And then you take action from that place. And that's a place of truth. That's a place of inner knowing. That's a place of alignment. And then you're taking right action and your body will respond appropriately because you listened to what your body was trying to tell you.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does. You're listening to what your body's telling you instead of what this outside source is telling you.
Yeah. And sometimes, let's say we eat something and our digestive system is not happy about it. And we could say, I think that that's not good for me to eat cheese, or I shouldn't eat ice cream. But we don't see it as a truth that we should actually really pay attention to. Meanwhile, we go by the Tums, and then we have more and more digestive complaints that continue to add up, right? Because you keep eating the ice cream. And then you're like, I don't know, maybe I should talk to the doctor. And then you kind of discount it because it's buried underneath all kinds of things, like your dissatisfaction in your job and your stress about your children's schoolwork and your busy schedule. And right. And so it kind of gets buried deep in there and you're not really sure where to begin, which is why, going back to what you said earlier, a lot of people are wondering, how do I get into the natural wellness thing? It seems like I don't know where to begin. And this is how you begin. Because we could go external and find all the influencers and the diet books and the TV shows and listen to podcasts. And those are all valuable, right? But if we're not checking in, learning how to start with our own dialogue and then learning how to trust the wisdom of what that is, because guess what? Your body is never wrong. Your body doesn't lie. It doesn't know how to lie. Your brain does. Your mind does, but your body doesn't. Your nervous system will never lie to you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So much there. I just love that. It's amazing. It's very amazing. So where would people find you if they want to learn more about this? Amazing.
Thank you. This amazing work. And it's just a gift that you would give yourself that would pay dividends for the rest of your life. Anyway, you can find me on my website, christinebrook.com. And I also have a Substack, and you can find that on my website. And that's where I discuss all the ways that we heal and all of the beautiful things that come from the healing path.
Wonderful. So people kind of have a picture in their mind. Do you work with people one-to-one, or do you do group kind of things, or how do you do it?
I work on people one-on-one. I have a 9-month container because, I mean, I have shorter ones too for people to explore this. But I love the 9 month because, you know, you're giving birth to yourself and And so it's just a beautiful process of birthing your truth and your authenticity and your healing path. Anyway, so yeah, I have mentorships, one-on-one containers of self-immersion.
Love it. Oh my goodness. Listeners, check that out. Christine has just, this is amazing me. So yeah, that's awesome. So before we say goodbye, is there any one last little message you want to leave with our listeners, Christine?
I was just saying for everybody to hopefully take a pause and think about their nervous system and think about their relationship with themselves and think about whether or not they're living their fullest life and they're living their richest life and their healthiest, most vital life, and know that it's available to them.
It's all inside.
It's all inside.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Christine. We will talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
You bet.
You've been listening to Midlife with Courage. If you liked what you heard, I would love it if you would leave a review. This helps me bring more amazing guests right to you. Until next time, take care of your beautiful self.